You feel thin?
I do feel a little thin right now.
Yeah.
Are you filming?
Yeah.
Does the camera add 10 pounds?
A lot more than that.
How many cameras?
I'll tell you what does add 10 pounds. Eating like an asshole. Eating like an asshole.
Welcome to the Best Hour of Their Day podcast with your hosts, Jason Fernandez.
And me, Jason Ackerman. With more than 20 years in the business,
as both coaches and affiliate owners,
our passion is to help create world-class affiliates
and coaches by building
better
boxes.
Welcome to
the Best Hour of Your Day.
Best Hour Studios presents.
This is the new studio, guys. We've leveled up.
We've leveled up. We moved to Dallas.
We moved everybody.
Hey, does sitting this way make me look taller or shorter?
It makes you look fatter. Or as you would say, it makes you look inflamed. That's the new term for being heavier than you should be is inflamed.
I told you a little shaming goes a long way. Look at me now.
I'm down eight pounds.
I'm less inflamed.
Cody is over here in the background, not being creepy.
Young Cody.
Yeah, young Cody.
What are you doing?
He'll be participating.
What are you doing
bit.
Over there?
A little no, creepy. But we are here in Fort Worth. The summit for the South Central region is Saturday. Today's a Thursday. We're going to be doing a little social and kind of education piece with Nicole and HSN tomorrow that we're hosting. I think there's almost 70 people registered for that. So if you guys do not go to the summits, I don't know what's wrong with you. Go to the summits, you bums.
Well, in fairness, this is the last one of the year.
There's going to be more.
We're unsure.
No, we're not.
We're sure.
I'm sure.
We'll sign up.
Yeah.
And if you are an affiliate you client, see you in Nashville.
Nashville for the mastermind.
Man, pumped about that.
Capped at 200, and we are at 150 right now.
Yeah, and we have plenty of new clients signing up and plenty that are on the fence. But one of the perks of being a part of Affiliate U is twice a year we get together, thus far domestically, but you never know.
I travel abroad.
You do not. I'm going to Cayman. Is that abroad?
Not. They're going to see your wife's family. Doesn't count. Nice try, though.
After Cody got back from Italy, we're definitely going to Italy. But point is, thus far, they've both been in the U.S. We had one in Denver. We have one in Nashville. But no limits. Maybe Canada, maybe Europe. But every 6 months or so, we put together a mastermind for our clients.
Yeah, it's fun. And we talk about things like coaches development and making your staff better.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's interesting is a lot of the things that we do for the company, we recommend for affiliates, and we are...
Team.
How many teams is it, Cody?
I think it's five, at least
six.
Five.
I think it's like the Ric Flair woo. You have to have at least four, but you can really go on forever.
I mean, there's no such thing as too much team.
There's no such thing. We level up our team all the time from, you know, books to podcasts to... just talking about sending Kevin to a workshop in person, and the same should be held true at the affiliate level.
How many emails do you think collectively between the either email or DM that we get?
DM is off the charts.
That are directly related to some sort of fallout with a staff member on a weekly basis.
From both directions. Right? We're talking to affiliate owners now, but...
I mean, it doesn't matter.
But right? I also get plenty of DMs from coaches.
That's my point, right?
Of like, what do I do if my affiliate owner is not developing or this? And I would, to give you an answer, numbers, I would say I get, and I'm trying not to exaggerate, 10 a week, which...
I probably get 5.
Yeah, because a lot of mine, you get probably more so from clients.
No, I get randoms too.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But I mean, think about it. Between two of us, 15... a week, that's like almost 1,000 a year. It's like 700 something a year. 15 times 52.
I'm going to check that math.
765. 760. Come on. If I get this right.
15 times 52. 780. You're wrong.
Oh, so close.
Sorry.
You were so off, though, because you didn't even think I was close.
I didn't even make a guess, but you were 3/4 of the way there. We can put it differently, yeah.
I was
75% close.
Point being.
Yeah, yeah.
Point being.
If this was a grading system, you would have a C+.
That's about
that
my GPA.
That checks out.
Think about, like, if we're getting 780, like, how many upset coaches are, and they're just reaching out to us, strangers, for the most part, if they're not our clients, right? Like people that just listen to us on this podcast or our social media, that's an insane number.
Well, coaches want to have a career. I did. You
for
did.
Sure.
You know, and then box owners want to create healthy businesses. And for whatever reason, there's this disconnect and there's this massive friction between those two entities that is kind of wild to think about. And it's purely ignorance, at least in my own history as a box owner. It's completely due to ignorance. But
yeah, it's rarely malice. It's rarely
they rely on each other. Now, I do think it's not malice, but like ignorance can be can feel malicious, I guess. Yes. You could say.
And at some point, ignorance, I guess you could argue, is malice. Like if you're not putting in the work to be a better leader, that's...
Well, it depends on how, if you choose to continue to be ignorant, right? This is my dad's old, like, you can, you know, you're either stupid or you don't give a shit. I can only help you with one, right? Like at some point, like you can be not stupid.
Correct.
Right. I don't know if we can get you to give a shit. That's a different topic, but you know, like the, that has, if we want to create healthy affiliates, or better yet, if I think about, you know, the variations of my affiliate, and then I think about the most successful affiliates that we work with, they've figured this part out. They figured out how the owner and the staff and the coaches can mesh together so that everybody gets what they want. And we talk about this too, and the three stakeholders, right? So you've got the box owner, you've got the community, you've got the coaching staff. When one of those three becomes out of balance, things start to break.
In either direction.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Yeah, if somebody's over or underserved, doesn't matter which direction, things start to become wobbly.
Just to explain that, because you say, like, well, how can you overserve? Imagine you have a kid that you spoil to death, and then when they're a teenager, like, how'd my kid become an asshole?
Well, yeah,
like,
yeah,
they're overserved. They're entitled now.
Yeah, and that's because that's the thing.
By the
too.
Way, is exactly what I'm doing with my daughter. So I'll let you know how that goes in 12 years.
Jess and I were having a conversation about like never doing that, but
it's
you'll see. The second one will break in.
We're trying our best not to, but it's like, you want to have, here's the iPad. Sure, take it.
Yeah, I'm like, Christmas is canceled, kids.
But you know, talk about the three stakeholders, and you know, the other thing to consider there is doing the right thing at all times for all three of those stakeholders.
It's hard, right? Like that's one of those ones where I'm like, I'll speak from my personal experience. There's phases of it as you start to figure it out. And typically the one that has to get the attention first, or the easiest one, is the coach, is just by simply showing that you give a shit, right? The business one typically comes second, because if I can make sure that the business starts to trend in the right direction and the coaching staff is happy, I will tend to get what I want as the business owner as a result of both of those. But I do, this shouldn't be understated. The business owner needs to get that. Like, that's important. And I don't mean that the business owner needs to be greedy or any of that stuff. I'm just saying that every party needs to get the reward. Right. So the coaches get continued development. They get a career. The members get the results. They get the community they're looking for. And the owner gets, you know, a living wage and lifestyle, you know, probably what I consider, like, if you do it well, the ultimate lifestyle job, where you get to make a good living enjoying what you do every single day. Like that's like
absolutely
the dream. So
best job in the world.
Best job in the world. And I think it's hard, man. It's really hard.
Well, something you said earlier before the stakeholders was also our clients do it good or well. And the truth is, I think our clients do it exceptional. And in fact, that's a must.
Well, if I think about the people that have kind of not fully made it through the shoot, but have like at least had their first full pass at all the things that we teach. And now we're on their second, or in a lot of instances, their third pass, where they're continuing to prove things, continuing to grow the business, and continuing to grow the team. They're the ones that are figuring this out, which is like, as you move through the stages of business, like the team becomes the most important thing.
Because like you're saying, like, cool, we figured this out, but without this thing over here, the coaches, all of that will eventually fall apart.
Yeah.
Two off the top of my head, plenty are doing it well, but Ryan Wheeler in California. Just does a great job.
Just hired a full time one. Was waiting on his second one.
Visa.
I just had a long call with him on Wednesday about like his moving and then looking at his new dashboard and everything.
And then the other guy you just had a call with as well, Louis.
Louis crushing. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we had a call yesterday as well, and it was
Louis, Allison, even Anna Floyd. I'm thinking about like John Wells.
So many.
Like they could just keep going down the list. Like these are all people that have hugged the cactus. Is my new phrase.
Hugged the cactus.
Went through Lindsay London is another one. So
You're naming a lot of the people
who are. Right, who've been with us for more than 12 months.
Like many of them,
some of them three years. And have gone through pretty significant evolutions as a box and all these other things. But the key is they're happy and their staff is happy. That's the key.
Then it just becomes like a good spiral upwards.
That's the key.
A tornado, if you will, or a tornado of development.
Something along those lines, maybe.
Write that down. Add that to my book.
But and kind of what we're alluding to is like, how do I, what was the term we used, Cody? Up-level?
Tornado of development, was it?
Yeah, yeah.
Up-level, leveling up your staff.
Yeah, just leveling up the staff. So.
Why was there confusion on what we were calling?
I couldn't remember what the actual phrase was. Just, yeah.
Leveling up.
Level.
What's
up
the difference
level?
In leveling up and up?
Up-level? Just the placement of the word up is the big difference.
That's why he got a C.
Yeah, plus. We'll start with you. You never did it well, so talk about
you're not leveling. Wrong, unfortunately.
Leveling up your staff. Let's start with this. What are some things that you think you did poorly?
Overworked. My expectations were up here.
I want you to be very specific about this because this is where people like there's varying degrees of the understanding of overworked and underpaid.
Right. I don't think it was like one of them is on our staff now, so we can ask Kevin. But
he tells me about it a lot. He still holds animosity.
I know. We're working through it. I wouldn't say like overworked, like actual like man hours. Like there was no tracking of it, but it was within reason. It was just. What happened outside of those hours, like if someone reached out, text, called, like I still expected people to be on, which is completely unfair for contractors or salaried workers, to expect it to be on 24/7. And I think that's a big one that we hear. It's like, they don't care as much as me. And the answer is like, of course not.
They should not.
They should not and will not.
It's not their thing.
Right. It's like having no different than a kid again. It's like I would protect your kids if you left them with me, right? Like and then it's
my
like
my kids would protect you if I left them with you.
Me would be like, Dad, I'm not equipped for that. But no, but I mean, you don't care about someone as much as your kids, and it's
they're not going to. Yeah, and I think there's so when you're talking about caring for the staff and improving them, I think there's the technical variation, and then I think there's the personal. Variation of making better people, just broadly stated.
Sure.
Right? So like forget a CrossFit gym. My job as the leader is to make better people. And make no mistake about it, this is hard. It is hard to do. So you got to do the best that you can. I will tell you, if you do the best that you can, you'll probably do a pretty good job.
And on that, I think I did well.
The best you can?
I do think I did the best I can, but no, developing my staff. That was a high priority, whether it was the next credit, like always paid for specialty, always
On the technical side.
Correct.
Okay.
L2, L3, I would bring in speakers to talk to them. So, and then as far as like perks, I always tried to take care of them, like with barter, like I was bartering a ton. So like, cool, a massage therapist came in, take care of the staff. A chiropractor came in. Like, so there were perks to working there.
Right.
And, but development was a big one.
So I think there's obviously the perks. And so let's go there. That's the easiest black and white. I don't think it is the most important. Right?
For
so
sure.
We've talked about this in the podcast. Like people will come for the technical expertise. They will stay for the personal development. Like that's just the way it works, mm-hmm. right? So people are like, hey, how do I level up my staff? Okay. Immediately people are thinking about credentials, courses, workshops, seminars, whatever, introduce all of those things. How do I go about doing that? That's the first thing. Like, hey, what should I contribute to my coaching staff? Okay. So step number one is anything.
For sure.
Anything that you can do, meaning like, and when I want to be even more specific, like anything could be giving them time off. You know, like, hey, I'm gonna coach your classes for this weekend that you normally coach so that you can go take the thing that you're going to pay out of pocket for. That's starting with just like giving them time. The second thing would be if you have access to, like, we've been fortunate over the years to host level ones, level twos, level fours at this point. Like, these are all things where, like, that's something I can give to them.
You paid for that for those three?
Yes, I paid for so we did a private, so I paid for them to come out to, I don't know if the price is public, so I'm not going to say sure. It, but like it's nothing crazy. But the point is like I paid for them to come to my facility and facilitate it there.
But for Lindsay and Cassidy and Jake, that would have been $1,500 out of pocket.
Correct. Yeah. Now to be clear, because I paid for them to come out there, Jake paid for his.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, so anyway, the second thing there is if you have access to those, like you give them free spots, right? Mm-hmm. So if you have for level one or level two for any affiliates out there that are hosting, you can give those. You get one scholarship spot for a level two. You get three for a level one. So anytime I have those, I'm thinking about people that might be considering coaching, and I'm always thinking two, three coaches deeper than I already have. And then after that, I start to spread them out to the community. I'll just send them into other gym owners that I know and be like, do you have somebody? Do you want?
Wait, have you ever given one out? You say like you're thinking two or three coaches deep. Do you ever give one out to someone expecting them to be like three deep and they get so inspired by the level one that they're like,
I've got one now.
Really?
Yeah, he did his, I mean, I'll talk about him because I'm a big fan of him. Andy. So he's retired. He's 50 something. He's
this is the member.
He's a member. Yeah. He sold his company, you know, pretty at a, what I consider to be a young age, and he's retired. Like he fishes and hunts, and he's just like,
he's 54.
He's like 50. He's not 55. I think he's like 52, 53. But he might be 54. I don't remember.
No, I meant just like he's not like 20.
No,
you
no,
made
no,
it
no.
sound like he sold his company.
But this is my point. So he wanted to take the level one, and then he wanted to take the level two.
Right
so
away.
He took the level two without ever coaching one class.
Do you think that's good or bad?
I don't think it matters.
Okay.
What I care about in that instance is like he wanted to take the level two.
Certainly that shows me like.
Now, would you get more bang for your buck if you had to coach him classes? Yes. However, the caveat here is he's been in my gym for years.
He knows what. But there is a sweet spot for those watching. Like, too much coaching, you've developed bad habits. Too little, you don't have habits, right?
I think the big variable is like, where are you coaching?
What's your daily see? Like, what do you see as coaching?
Correct. What are you exposed to? So I think that's the biggest. Yeah, and this is something I was talking to Nicole Christian about yesterday, just about the gap for people coming into level four is so wide. Like people just not doing basic stuff. Anyway, and he's one of our interns right now. This guy has no.
But you just gave him a.
Yeah, he was like, I want to do it, and we're going to do it again. I'm like, okay, great.
Did you give him the level?
He paid for the level two himself.
But you, when you gave
him
the level one,
I might be misquoting all of this. I'm pretty sure I gave him the level one.
Rough story. But when you gave him the level one, you weren't expecting him to be like, hey, I want to coach now.
No, but then his wife took the level one too.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and she paid for it, and the because we didn't even know she wanted to take it.
Oh, at the same one he took?
No, a different one. This afterwards, but so then he took level two, and he's just like, hey, man, I want to, I think I'm interested in coaching. So Cassie had brought it up, and I was like, Andy? And it has nothing to do with Andy. I was just like, why would he want to do that? Like, he's just not in a phase of his life where you're going to become a casual CrossFit coach, you know? And I now see why he's successful. Not that I didn't already kind of see that in him, but I never, like, he doesn't, like, he wasn't, he was a client. It wasn't working for me, but he's an intern, and he's in the gym all day.
To learn.
He's in there taking notes, watching classes, like doing dry runs on the.
That's so cool.
And he's like, and it's cool. I walked into a conversation with one of our younger coaches or newer coaches, was like giving him feedback on the class. And I just kind of popped in the conversation and I was like, dude, this is awesome. Like, this is great.
What's interesting too, and I know we're talking about up leveling, but for many of our clients and just other things we hear, like, we can't get coaches. And their initial thought is always, well, who's the fit ones? We talked about this on you know, knowing when to hire and fire people, but who are the fit ones? I'll ask them. And like you're experiencing right here, and I did many times, it's rarely those people. It's like the right. stay-at-home mom who yeah. now has no job and
the
has person, a couple
the people
hours.
Who give a shit, man. Those are the best ones.
Yeah.
So
but this guy, but
he's
perfect.
In there. I mean, he's putting in work, and he's getting good.
So are you going to hire him?
He's still struggling.
Well, we don't want to spoil it.
We'll see, Andy.
Hey, guys. Fern here. Real quick, I just want to share a quick success story from one of the hundreds of gyms that we've been able to help inside of Affiliate U. And our mission and best hour of their day is to ultimately improve and grow the greater CrossFit community by building better boxes and creating better businesses with better coaching staff so we can bring CrossFit to the masses. Check it out. And if you think we can help you, don't hesitate to reach out.
I don't know where I'd be right now had I not done Affiliate U. And this is coming from a place of doing good. We were good. We made it through COVID. We paid our bills. We were debt free. I was paying myself, paying coaches. But what Affiliate U has done is taken that which was good and truly made it so much better. So I am very grateful. We've seen increases in revenue, $4,000 a month on average. We've also had a net increase in members of 20, which is big. So going from about 98 in January to 120 as of September. So that's huge. We have bounced up and down around 120, 130, and then can't sustain it. Now we have processes in place. We have the ability to sustain those members and even grow more. The continued benefit of what is put into place is undeniable. So I could not be more excited about Affiliate U and about the opportunity that CrossFit Plant City has, and having members come in very consistently saying thank you so much for what you're doing to continue to make us better and make the gym better. And I really truly have that in my heart. That is my desire to give, but I had run out of the fuel, the ability to provide that at the level that was necessary. And Affiliate U gave me that opportunity to really unlock my potential, the gym's potential, and I am super grateful. Thank you, guys.
No, but the, you know, for me, I always like, I just let them go through the process. So it's not like I do... am I going to hire them or not? Like the process will sort it out, and they're part of the process. They'll make that decision whether they want to do this or not. I have full confidence that he'll be able to do it just based on his interest in it. Like he's asking a ton of questions. I copy his notes. He's going through it. He's like, oh man, I messed this up. And I'm like, welcome to the whole process, dude. This is how it works. But
every gym has an Andy, by the way.
Correct.
They just need to find it.
Correct.
Or her.
So if you have the opportunity to give those away, great. And then after that, it gets a little bit more, you know, pay for 50% of whatever that credential would be. Or I'm a big fan of, I think I want people to have skin in the game, which is if it's a pass fail course evolution, I will reimburse once they pass.
Let me put you on the spot. You have to give a template. And I know I'm pigeonholing you, and the true answer is there's a context, but we get this question all the time, like, what should we contribute? So if you had to give some black and white answers, the truth is, is it in your budget? All these other things, right. Like lots of things we can consider, but if you had to give like a pretty rough answer, what would it be?
Are you asking in a dollar amount?
Yeah, like okay, I have a potential coach.
Yep.
How much do I contribute to the level one?
All of it if you can.
No matter who the person is. Like it's a member who, it's your Andy who's expressed
interest.
Doesn't
matter. And this is, I think people, the other thing that I think is important about when, because they're like, what if they leave? That's your fault.
Fair. I mean, circumstances have been moving,
but
pregnancy.
Even if they do leave because they don't like it there, when you invest in your staff and your team, they are not indentured servants. They owe you nothing. That's not how it works.
But most affiliate owners can't just be dropping $1,200.
Right, so then pay for half of it.
But you're a huge proponent then of if you have an interested coach, pay what you can.
Pay what you can.
So help them out, though.
If you want somebody to be invested in you, you have to be invested in them.
Okay, I like that. So next time you're looking to, one of the things I often tell our clients that are looking for coaches is, you know, ask your community, be it at the whiteboard, a newsletter, et cetera. Put it out there.
Ask often.
And then, hey, by the way, if you're interested, I pay for your level one.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're looking for a coach, you're going to get a coach a lot faster that way.
For sure. Yeah. So I think you have to contribute what you can. And then the whole thing gets sorted out with, like, have a plan, number one.
Well, because people ask, I'm like, what's in your budget? They're like, oh, I don't have one. Okay.
There, let's start there.
Yeah. Because like you're saying, contribute what you can, which should be very black and white in your budget.
The other thing that's important about this too, as far as like leveling up your coaching staff is, and I just had somebody else reach out about this that was asking about, a coach came in asking for a raise. Mm-hmm. And the issue was, what happens is when you have no, like, even a bad structure for how you contribute to CEUs or a bad structure for how you pay people, that is definitive, is better than none. And the reason for that is, if I have a structure, if somebody comes to me and they say, hey, I want this, I'm like, oh, that's not how it works. We do this here.
Even if this is a mess,
at least they have rules, right? So it's no different than even if you have like the world's shittiest hold and cancellation policies, right? I still have the policies, and people are like, well, I don't like it. I'm like, well, it doesn't matter. Those are the rules. That's what we agreed upon. You signed that. That's what we agreed upon when you came in. Same thing for how you do that.
It's kind of like CrossFit. Like, even doing it poorly is better than not doing it.
But understanding why is important. If I have no rules, just like in the hold and cancellation piece, the person that comes in now has the leverage. Like, they're coming in negotiating.
I signed nothing.
They're coming in negotiating terms to me that I was not prepared to negotiate. And have no solid footing.
Well, worst off, they're usually in your head. Like, usually the affiliate owner's like, but you can't cancel now. Like, we've not talked about this, but I've always believed it to be 30 days.
Yeah, right. So the, you know, same thing, which is like, you know, if you're going to have an allotted amount, you'd be like, hey, we're going to pay for 2 credentials annually inside of the team. Mm. Right? 2. Why? Because that's what we figured out we can afford. Who that's going to be, I don't know, but the number's 2. So whoever becomes most deserving of that will get those slots. Great. Holds and cancellations. Here's how we hold and cancellation. You don't get to negotiate. Pay raises. Be like, I want a raise. You're not eligible for a raise. Why? Because this is how we structure pay and raises and all these other things. But when you're not prepared for that, you're immediately backpedaling and you're on the defensive. And worst off, you have to just make shit up, which immediately puts you in a worse position because the next person's immediately going to get wind of this and come in and do it to you again. They're like, well, you gave him that, so now I want it. So what I told the box owner was, I was like, okay, so here's the deal. You're going to have to sort this out with this person right now. But the actual exercises, you need to frame up how your pay structure works. And she was like, you're right. And I was like, all right, let's do that. So the inside of the CEU, like, that's just the black and white stuff. And there's ways to do that. But now what I think is more important with the staff is, I think most of that stuff is pretty easy. It's linear, right? Meaning I do level 1, level 2, level 3, level 4. You already know what the cost of those is. Okay, great. Go forth and budget, you know, and execute
for each coach,
right? To the best of your knowledge.
And that's like a minimum 5-year budget.
Okay, and if you want even more black and white, you can either go with senior, or like, who gets eligibility? The person who's either senior or who's doing the most hours, meaning like the person who needs it the most. I mean, the person who is going to be interacting with the staff the most gets first dibs.
And that could be on the floor. It could be your head coach.
Correct, right? But go with the person who's going to be your biggest impact player. So that's how you figure that out, right? If you got a coach that coaches 70 hours a month or 30 and everybody else coaches 10, go with the 30, because I'll get more out of that 30 than I will have.
For sure.
And not all the time, but you'll be able to figure that out.
Is the level one 1150 right now?
I think it's 1250.
So 2,500 level one, level two.
Correct.
The level three is what, 750?
2,500. I think that, what's that come out to, like $230 or $225 a month if you budget that? You could pay for both of those annually.
Yeah. So I'm just trying to figure out. So 2,500, 750 for the L3 is 3,250. How much is the L4?
I believe it's 1,500.
So just under 5 grand. Travel, just under 5 grand, not including anything else.
Right.
You get someone from nothing to a level four. So put that in your budget over 5 years.
Right.
There you go.
And then I think, I think the more important one is just the constant feedback and candid conversations. I think this is how you make people better. It was funny. We were having a little bit of snafu with something last week at the gym. So Cassie and I have been running full speed at the gym together for over a decade. Mm-hmm. So he knows what I mean when I say certain things. Like he I don't have to say it a certain way.
Well, you have a military background as right. well. Yeah.
And for he and I, it's very easy to communicate because there's nothing in between what I say and what I mean. This is just like, bam, and he's like, got it, and then we move on.
And Cassidy's also pretty top level receiving feedback.
Correct. Yeah, correct. And something happened, and one of my other junior coaches who's doing some other, she was like, is he mad at me? And he's like, oh, no. He's like, that's just the way. He's like, he said he meant exactly what he said. And she's like, oh, I think he's mad. He's like, it doesn't matter. He's upset about other stuff. But that he's like, but this is what he wants to happen. And she was like, okay. He's like, you're not in trouble. It's not a big deal. But he knows that because we've had many hard conversations over the years. And then I try to have those same hard conversations with all of the coaching staff. Like, hey, you can't do that. Or like, this is unacceptable. Or this is not done to the extent that to the level that we want it done. And like we had we were rolling out a pre-order and I kind of typed in there. I was like, hey, we dropped the ball on a couple things. That's not harsh. Right. And Blake, who's kind of handling that, she was like, where did we mess up? And I was like, it's not a big deal, but I want to make sure that we have items in hand before we do that moving forward. But I want to make no mistake, like that was a dropped ball. Nobody's in trouble. I'm just saying like, but if I say it that way, she's like, okay, we can't do that again in the future. Great. Now we're on the same page. So I think having those conversations, so developing them, and then also helping them develop other skills too, which means you as a box owner need to continue to, and that's what I have taken really personally over the past couple of years is like, what skills can I continue to develop that I can then hand off? So we've talked about this before, like 2023 for me was like the year of systems. Like I really spent a lot of time like learning how to build systems that I could hand things off efficiently and getting into skill sets and doing stuff that I don't particularly enjoy. But now I can hand them off and I can teach them to other people and they'll still get done. So I'm not the sole holder of that information or that skill set anymore, whether it's like building value chains or working Trello boards or, working spreadsheets and things like that, or designing workflow. Like I don't particularly enjoy doing any of those things, but if I want them done, I have to learn how to do them at least to some sort of competent level so that I can then hand it off and then we can refine it together. And I think that's the other thing that makes the staff more valuable. I feel like if your staff is with you for a long enough period of time and they only are good at one thing, I think that's a failure of leadership, right? If they don't get better at doing administrative tasks, I think that's bad. If they don't get better at communicating, I think that's bad. I want to develop a set of players that if they left my affiliate and they went anywhere else, they'd be the top dog across the board, not just in coaching. I treat that as like that's a foregone conclusion that you'll be the best coach at that affiliate if you leave here. I want you to be better at everything than they are, meaning like how you communicate with your teammates, how you communicate with the members. What is your timeliness? What is your attention to detail? What is your understanding of how all of this works? That requires that I have to get really buttoned up on those things and I have to continue to push the threshold. And that's where I think a lot of people don't focus enough, because if people are better plugged in, so I'll give you a perfect example. Because I get a lot of questions from our clients like, hey, can you film some of your staff meetings?
Mm. Right. I get people asking me to ask you that.
Yeah. And I have no problem doing it. I just got to coordinate with Nate. So I do maybe like 4 meetings a week, but I'm going to probably just plan them all on one day and Nate will just come film all of them and we'll just give them to everybody. But that
guys, we got Chipotle again.
Yeah, right. 4 meals a day. But that was one of the things I took pretty seriously this year is like, hey, how do I prep for, execute, and follow through on those meetings? Right. And I'm still continuing to get better at it, but it took a lot of work to really figure out like what would be the requisite information that the team would need to stay plugged in so that they could continue to be critical thinkers about everything so that they're not asking me for stuff. They're just solving problems. And that's what I want. That's what a good teammate is. A teammate is a kind of a, what I describe
no
as like
drunk monkeys.
definitely no drunk monkeys, but also fire and forget is what we call in the military, which is like, I gave you a directive. I don't really need to follow up with you. Like, you're going to go off and do the thing, and you're going to come back and report to me that it is either done, not done, or it was broken, or you were incapable of getting it done for some reason. That's what I'm trying to build in all of them. So I can just be like, I can give you the task, and then I can let you run with it. Now, there's some people that can just do that inherently. Most of them is that you will have to build all of the things between giving the directive and the end state for them to do and then come back to you. You'll have to build all of that for them. That's what took me a really long time to understand. Is like most of us who are not risk averse and will take a risk and go out and open a business will just go do those things. Mm-hmm. Most people are not like that.
Well, that's two things you really said in there that need to be clarified for the listeners. All the work you had to do on your own to develop the staff.
It's hard.
Right. So a lot of affiliate owners are like, my staff won't do this. It's like, but you've not done a full year of what Fern just did developing. Like, we'll talk about like, hey.
That's all I did, by the way, this year. Like, everything that I worked on the business was all.
I noticed
all,
you weren't really doing anything.
Was all. Was like, all.
Has anyone seen Fern? He's got systems happening. Yeah, great. Yeah.
Was all systems related. Like, I was like trying to build out things and.
And we talked about it on a recent episode, right? Where we.
Building systems.
Right,
yeah,
just
yeah.
Record a Loom.
And, yep.
Like, all of those things are super important because the other benefit that we haven't even touched on is cool. So when Cassidy leaves. You know, big shoes to fill for sure, but not that hard. It'll take time to get him up to Cassidy's speed, but the entry is so much higher than it would have been without that.
It becomes so much faster, and yeah. the quality of candidate that I can get is so much better. So, and this is not a shot at Cassidy, but it's just like, could I replace him? Yes, I definitely do not want to.
No, and there becomes a point in time where it's like. He's so far ahead because
correct
all the other
in my mind he would be one of the best affiliate owners who didn't own an affiliate or maybe he did
he'd
at some
be top
point.
Like GC's up there right like
right.
There's a handful of others but Cassidy's
so, but
and,
I think,
and he could easily go out and do it himself if he wanted to.
There's a learning. There's still some things that have to happen there. Like like there's still a point where like until
he
you
would
actually,
hire affiliate you of course.
Of course. But so.
But I said two things. So one that, and then, you know, the second part. Other than you doing all of this work was the belief that it's okay if my staff become so good that they want to move on and they're awesome somewhere else. Like most people have that, like, I want to get them better, but I want them to stay here. And you're equipping these people with.
I want them to stay there too.
Of course you do. But I guess it's more of an abundance mindset where it's like, it's, hey, if I put all this time and effort and they grow and move on to something different or just move or leave. Cool. I've helped another human being.
Correct. And there will always be movement and stuff in there. But I think when leveling up the staff, I think there's obviously there's the binary, the, hey, they need to get better professionally at the skill, which means I need to go do these courses and workshops and seminars. And then I think there's the personal development, which is just a lot of interaction, talking about the stuff that's pretty abstract, that is not found in the manual. That's like, hey, when you sent that email, you know, perfect example. But another coach come in the other day and they're like, hey, this is what happened and this is how I handled it. I'm like, it's like probably not the best response. I'm like, correct.
You did that to me yesterday.
Correct.
I sent an email out and I was like, all right. And
I think it went well. And I was like,
ugh. And he was like, yeah, that wasn't good. I forget what you said. You said something like, I said, this is what I meant. You're like, that wasn't clear.
Yeah. But I think that's important, right? Like,
well, yeah. And I, you know, but for us, I'm like, okay, let me go back. When we were done, I was like, let me see what I said. And I was like, okay.
That wasn't clear.
That makes sense. And then I had to go.
Clarify.
Well, what happened was they send an email back.
Right.
And I needed to clarify that.
Right. Yeah. But that was the whole point. It was just like, I was like, that was, I think it was like, it was unclear.
Right. But it's also a place of you feeling comfortable doing it, me feeling comfortable.
Yeah. And I think the key component here is if you're going to be working on this, I think you're on the journey together. I'm getting better. They're getting better, which means we're both going to be messing up, which means we're both going to be getting feedback in both directions. And I think as long as you're open to that, everything else typically will get easier. But when you're talking about leveling up your staff, I do think it is important to intentionally acknowledge both sides of the coin.
Yeah.
So I've got this is your technical skill, but then this is who you are as a person. And I, again, just kind of like ignoring any one of the three, you know, stakeholders there. If I'm ignoring one side of the coin at the other, the likelihood for this person at some point being unhappy and leaving starts to go up. Now, you're going to mess this up. I don't there's just no way around it. Like that you're going to miss on some things because you're not good enough or they're not in the right spot, all those things. But that's how it goes. Like you just keep trying and you keep betting. Like again, do your best.
Yeah.
So but I do think the leveling up is both pieces those.
And by leveling up the personal side, it will make them better on the floor.
It's inevitable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the things that that I was reading here is like unifying the team around your core values and your mission.
Oh, this is actually a great one. So when I was in Canada, we did the workshop up in Canada. Nate and I did the workshop in Canada. you fucking lazy.
I was turds. Asked for. I was asked for that email.
Yeah.
missed me.
We were doing we did an assessment on everybody that was there. We had them do the 10 general skills, and then one of them I had the owner and the GM do the assessment separately.
Oh, that's real cool. Because first of all, like, not all affiliates have that
correct
option.
And they were like, should we do it separately? And I was like, actually, I would love that you do it separately, and we're going to see.
I planned this, so you would do it separately.
Thank you very much. And we're going to see how different they are. And on some things,
they immediately
very close.
Got nervous, the owner.
No, they were totally on board with it, and it was actually their idea. So, but what was interesting, and Nate knows who I'm talking about, the differences in some of the things was stark. Meaning like, hey,
give us one example.
Vision was one, or like 9-2.
Wow.
So going back to getting the team on the same page, and I forget what if I had the sheet, I could go back and work through it. But this is the value of how we evaluate is that like if you can find out some of these pieces of information, if you can start to decipher where you should start or where both weaknesses and order of operations. Mm-hmm. Meaning like, hey, if you want to get better systems or you want to do these other things, we should probably get the team on board with your vision. Now, where would we do that? I'm like, do you know what the mission and vision are? I'm like, yes. I'm like, do you know? And they're like, she does. And I'm like, okay, well then where the disconnect is. So
it's triage.
Right. So then I said, okay, well, how do we make that happen? I said, well, you would start to communicate this at your whatever your staff meetings look like. You start to cover this. Like, we all joke about Marcus, but, like, Marcus does this at all the
most. I get so mad every time.
He covers it.
I skipped the last meeting because of it.
Because of it, yeah. But he covers it at every meeting, and I think that's important because...
I told him, actually, it's so cool because also, like, we've heard it a million times. Right. They hear it once a month.
Well,
and then someone new comes on, and Kevin was my favorite example. I remember watching his eyes, like... This is so cool.
But also everybody starts to learn, and I was joking about best hours, and Nate was just goes, team. And I was like, I did not plant Nate to say that, but I was like, that is one of our core values is team. And that, so if you're trying to build the team, that's a clear disconnect because if they don't understand that.
Well, that's almost all of our, this has been like an hour. And really what you're explaining at this moment is the root of the issue. The affiliate owner believes this. They are mad at everybody else for not believing this. But it's not that they don't believe it. It's that they don't know it.
They haven't told them.
Yeah. Like, I'm mad at you for X. And it's like, all you got, like, but, and we all do it in, like, every, like, we have our au pair, right? She washes the dishes, spoons up. And I'm like, fucking Anna.
Wait, hold on. Spoons up?
So she washes the dishes. Either way, No.
This is a really big topic for me.
Okay, get us.
Let's talk about the dishwasher. Let's talk about the dishwasher.
It's always the part that's going to go in your mouth down.
Correct.
Yeah.
There's the only right answer, everybody. If you go up, you're a sociopath, and I hope you, like, sprain your ankle.
A kitten will die every time you do it wrong, right? Yeah. So you put them up?
You put them up?
Someone has to touch them.
That's so gross. Wrong, you got Nate. You listen.
This is a perfect example.
You didn't teach your kids how to do this, Nate.
So, but that's what was going on. Anna, our au pair, who we love, when she first got there, meanwhile, she's like, I'm doing this great thing. I'm washing the dishes. And every time I'd see clean dishes, I'd get mad. I'm like, I got to touch this or someone's touching it. And then finally, I was like, hey, Anna, just so you know. And she doesn't speak English well, but I'm like, hey, touch. And she was like, She said, she
goes, no, you don't speak Spanish well, is the issue.
Fair enough. But she goes, yeah, he was like, she was, this is like a few days into her saying, and she's like, smart man. And I was like, that's right. Don't
she
forget.
She was talking about you, though. She was talking about Bodhi. Yeah.
No, but it was it's like, you're like developing this anger and resentment in your head. And meanwhile, they just don't know.
Yeah, and I think what you're getting at there is...
Can we talk about Nate and how dirty he is?
Yeah, developing the team is like you have to learn that there's certain things that you keep in here, but most things need to come out.
Yeah, and like...
You know, so...
What time they show up to class, like...
Right.
What the... Who they log... Like, all those things, it's like... Yeah, maybe you don't show them your bank account number.
Right.
But...
You could. Don't see anything wrong with that either.
But... Certain things need to be expressed.
What else do you have in there, Cody?
That's it. I mean, you guys literally hit on everything.
So, but back on that, I would guess many of the affiliates watching don't have a mission statement and don't have their values written down.
That's a tricky one, and we're going to talk about that in a different episode. But what I have found, both for myself and as we put more people through that, there is a more and less optimal place to go through that exercise.
Okay.
More and less beneficial place to do that exercise. Because,
are we doing an episode on that?
Yeah.
I'd have to go back and check.
Like, I think we were going to do one just on clarity and what it means. But but yes, correct. If you don't have that, it becomes very, very
hard. Or they
hard.
Think they do, like, oh, I read it in a book and I cookie cuttered this. And I'm like, do you know it? And they're like, well, no.
Right.
I'm like, if you don't know it.
Right. So I think
we had our values on the walls at Albany CrossFit.
Yeah. They were like, you know, sleep in late, don't work hard.
Work efficiently
eat like an asshole. Be inflamed.
Be inflamed.
You need a little bit of inflammation in your diet.
More omega-6s.
My ratio was like 30 to 1.
Yeah. I think, obviously, if you want to do this for the long haul, you're going to have to develop good staff.
And it makes all of your decisions easier. Sorry, on values. When you have your values, does it align with these values or not?
That's a tough one. That's a whole different rabbit hole. But I think if you want to do it well, and you want to do it well, you know, it's like in the military, there's this saying called sustained superior performance, which is like makes me want to throw up in my mouth.
Virtuosity, almost.
Kind of. But but if you do want to have that kind of sustained superior performance, you're going to have to develop a good team, and you're going to have to develop a good team that pushes those values, those ideas, that feedback down past you.
That's what I've done here.
Where?
At Best Hour.
In this
sustained superior
performance.
In the new studio.
Look in the new studio.
Look at this team. This is how we got here.
We've been wanting to talk to you about that. That's why we're locked in this small room, by the way.
You working hard is sustaining my superior.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, basically, in order to stay on top, you need to have a team of sledgehammers.
Yeah, and you have to start building and start with one, right? Like, people are like, well, I've got this. I'll give another example, right? So when box owners come into affiliate U, we immediately kind of corral their coaching staff and push them into coach development. And then inevitably they come back, well, I have two of them that are doing it, and I've got four that don't want to do it. And I'm like, you know, for lack of better terms, I'm like, fuck those other four. I'm like, don't worry about it. I'm like, take the two that want your time and attention and go full bore with those two. Like, the return that you will get on that, A, will trickle down. Like,
for sure.
Peer pressure is a thing. But don't overlook the people that are participating for the people that are not participating. Because, like, I'm going to get so much more out of that. And again, there will be spillover. So, you know, you're going to have to do this, and you're going to have to address this at some point. And
no one wants to be the worst coach.
Nobody wants to be the turd. And, you know, and I think that's really the culture that you want to create, is like everybody wants to walk in and like nobody wants to be the person who's like the worst. So you just create a bunch of A players, and then B players really stick out. And some people find that uncomfortable, and I'm like, that's okay. That's okay. It's okay. It's okay if people feel uncomfortable. This is probably understated. It's okay if people feel uncomfortable in your team because they feel like other people are better than them. It's okay. I think it's actually necessary.
Write that down.
You know?
Put that as the thumbnail.
On this episode.
I like that. That's good. That's going in the Book of Fern. What's that, Nate? I do feel unnecessary.
I also feel that you're
I'm
unnecessary.
Also used to it at this point. I like it.
So
I don't mind being the worst on the team. I'm the anomaly.
I'm glad
here.
You said it. And my continued feedback is be like, you should just own that and stop pretending that you do care. We'd all be better off. But yeah, I think that all of that is important. So
at the Boston Summit, you said something, and I think we can kind of like wrap it all up with that. And you said, you don't find good coaches, you make them.
And that's an ownership thing. And you can find good people, but you have to make good coaches and you have to make good teammates. And shifting the affiliates as a whole to run better boxes to impact more people, I think 100% hinges on that, on box owners making that shift. It's like, that's your responsibility. That's not CrossFit's responsibility. They're there to introduce them to the kernel. Your job is to take that ball and continue pushing it down the field. You call the plays, you put them in when they're supposed to be, you direct traffic, but affiliate owners have to own that. That's not CrossFit's job. That's the affiliate owner's job. Thanks for checking out this episode of the Best Hour of Their Day podcast. We appreciate you listening and choosing to have us help you in your passion for coaching and affiliate ownership. You can find more episodes just like this on all podcast platforms. If you're interested in learning more, you can reach out to us on any social media platforms, or you can visit www.besthouroftheirday.com to book a call. If you found this episode helpful for you, please share it so that we can help other coaches and affiliate owners to help build a bigger and stronger CrossFit community. Thanks for listening.